Take your Bibles now, please, and I want you to turn to Ephesians chapter 6. Ephesians chapter 6. We've been preaching a series of messages on the fulfilled family. We've talked about the role of the wife, the role of the husband, and various subjects as far as the home goes. Tonight we want to look at the role of the children, the role of the child in the home. And the Bible speaks to all of these issues, and all Scripture is given by inspiration of God. Amen? And it is profitable for us. And so we want to look at that tonight. Ephesians 6, we'll begin with verse 1, reading through verse 4. Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor thy father and mother, which is the first commandment with promise, that it may be well with thee, and thou mayest live long on the earth. And you fathers, provoke not your children to wrath, but bring them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. Now, this is totally Scripture, and it is the Word of God without reservation. Amen? This is what God says about the subject. We live in a crazy society today. It reminds me of the story of the frog that was put in the pan, and if you put a frog in a pan when it's real cool, you can turn the burner up, and then it gets hotter and hotter and hotter, and the frog has many times, many opportunities to jump out of that pan, but if they don't, they're going to get boiled. And that's what's happening to us in our culture. If we don't pull away from some of the things that our culture is teaching us that are totally erroneous, and we'll talk about some of those things tonight, if we don't pull away from those things and get back to the Bible, back to the Word of God, then we're going to reap more and more and more of what we're seeing in our culture tonight and what we're seeing today in our society, where we have lawlessness and all kinds of problems, and homes are obviously in trouble. We need to get back to the Bible. And I'm telling you, apart from Christ, the family's in trouble, deeply in trouble. And so there are some basic factors that we have that we see in these verses, and one of them is simply this: children, obey your parents. That's one of the factors. Children, obey your parents. That's what God said. And then parents, He's saying, don't overdo your authority in the home. Be kind and compassionate, and don't drive your children to the place where you're provoking them. And that is a very tedious balance, but certainly we know that He's saying that there should be, first of all, the submissiveness of the child. Verse 1, very clear. Children, obey your parents in the Lord. Does anybody not understand that? There it is, right in the Word of God. And He's telling it. Now, He's not just talking about a little baby. He's not just talking about a little two-year-old. He's talking about any child that's living in their father and mother's home, and when they are taking care of them and they're under their roof, then they should be under their control. Does anybody want to say amen to that? Amen. That's what the Bible teaches. Now, even if you move out, you're still supposed to have a wonderful sensitivity to your mother and father and their needs and still honor them. It's not just, as soon as I can get away from home, I'm going to dishonor them. That's not what the Bible says. And we'll say a little more about that as we go through. But when He says obey, it's the Greek word akouo. We get the word acute from that word. And He is saying that we should have acute hearing, acoustics. It all goes back to this root word. And so we ought to hear what the Bible says and get under the authority of our parents. Children, obey your parents in the Lord. And that's teenagers. That's those that are still living at home. That's little children. All of that, under their authority, listen to what they're saying. Obey them in the Lord. And I think that today we're facing in our society, and that's been going on a good while. I remember some of the things that came up years ago, that the year of the child and that kind of thing, where they are saying, listen, The children ought to have more rights. They ought to have all the rights. Parents do not have a right to have their children and be in control of their children. They don't have those rights. The National Year of the Child. Free the children from parental authority. That's what the brains, some people think, I say the imbeciles of our society today would say, because it contradicts the Word of God. Now in verse 2 he says, honor your parents. Not only obey them, but honor them. Honor thy father and thy mother, which is the first commandment with promise. Honor your father and honor your mother. In other words, I think he's talking here about a lifelong commitment. A lifelong commitment of honoring your father and your mother. And after the responsibility to obey ends, then there is that responsibility that continues. The word honor is tamao, and it literally means in the original language, it is used as a reference to reverence for God. In other words, it's in the same category. Honor God. Honor Jesus. And the same word is used, honor your mother and father. Honor them like you would God. Honor them like you would the Lord Jesus Christ. It's not talking about putting them in the place of God, but having an awe about you in relationship to your mother and to your father. With all of their warts, God says you're to honor them and have a right attitude. And always when there's a right attitude, there will be a right action. When there's a right attitude, God's attitude toward parents, then there will be the right action. Exodus chapter 20 in verse 12, the Bible says, honor thy father and thy mother, that thy days may be long upon the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee. By the way, this is the only commandment in the Ten Commandments that has a relationship to the family. And it is very specific in a relationship to a family. And it's enough for us to obey it. Honor thy father and thy mother, that thy days may be long. And it's really a key, this attitude, to all of our relationships as children of God, as born-again believers, whether it's in the home or basically whether it's general in the society, we're to take God's Word and listen to what the Word of God says. Exodus 20, two verses, verse 15, verse 17. And he that smiteth his father or his mother shall be surely put to death. Wow, God must have been serious about that. He that smiteth his mother or father in the Old Testament law shall be surely put to death. Verse 17, he that curseth his father or his mother shall surely be put to death. You want to know what God thinks about a bad, dishonorable attitude toward parents? There it is. God says that's a very, very serious thing. Proverbs 13:24, he that spareth his rod hateth his son, but he that loveth him chasteneth him betimes. Now, the Bible is saying that as parents, we have a responsibility. And our responsibility is to form the lives of our children. And they are to respect and honor us. Did you know that a child will not naturally obey? How many of you parents know that? Raise your hand. If you're a parent, you know that. I know you think your child's an angel because they're always up there harping about something. But at any rate, they are just naturally going to disobey. You get two-year-olds, and maybe a little two-year-old, and you say to that two-year-old, now look, I'm going to be out of the room. There's some candy over there. Don't touch that candy. Don't you dare touch that candy. And when you come back, what are you going to see? Candy all over their mouth, candy all over the floor. Fat chance that they won't touch it. You know why? Because they don't naturally obey. And so that's why sometimes in here I'm going to be totally politically incorrect, but I'm going to base it on the Word of God. If they need a paddling, give them a paddling. Amen? And some people say, well, I just don't believe in spanking. Well, you hadn't read your Bible. Now, beating is different, and abusing them, nobody believes in that if they believe what God says. But a spanking won't hurt them. It will not kill them. They may scream and holler. I used to fake it with my mama like that. Scream and holler like she's killing me. And it wasn't half as bad as I acted like. But we need to teach them the Proverbs. Turn just a second. Let's go to Proverbs 1. Let me just cover some things here. Proverbs chapter 1. Let me show you what God says along the way. And these are some things that we need to know as parents, and also whoever you might be as a guardian, whatever it may be, that we need to know. And Proverbs 1 and verse 8. Are you there? Say amen. Amen. Proverbs 1:8. My son, hear the instruction of thy father, and forsake not the law of thy mother. That's very plain. Listen to mother and dad. Listen to what they're telling you. Chapter 2, verse 1. My son, if thou wilt receive my words and hide my commandments with thee, so that thou incline thine ear unto wisdom and apply thine heart to understanding. He's talking about parents speaking to them. Chapter 3, verse 1. My son, forget not my law. Don't forget what I've told you, the instructions. But let thine heart keep my commandments. Do what daddy says you should do. Chapter 4, beginning with verse 1. Hear ye, children, the instruction of a father, and attend to no understanding. For I give you good doctrine, forsake ye not my law. For I was my father's son, tender and only beloved in the sight of my mother. He taught me also and said unto me, let thine heart retain my words, keep my commandments, and live. I've taught you, you listen to what I'm telling you, and that'll help your children down the road when you're telling them. Chapter 5, verses 1 and 2. He says, my son, attend unto my wisdom, and bow thine ear to my understanding. Young people, let me tell you, your mothers and daddies have a whole lot more wisdom and understanding than you think they do. I know you think you know more than them, probably sometimes. So did I. But I promise you I didn't. And when you get a little older and start having to take the responsibility of everything, you'll know just how smart they were. Attend unto my wisdom and bow thine ear to my understanding, that thou mayest regard discretion, and that thy lips may keep knowledge, that you'll have knowledge. And on he tells us those things in the book of Proverbs. It's just saturated with instructions. And parents, when your children are young, you ought to teach them these Proverbs. Go over them with them. Tell them what you expect out of them. And get it. The basic problem is simply this. Children are just children. That's what they are. They're just children. But we shouldn't be so interested in their rights as we are interested in their responsibilities. They have a biblical responsibility, and God is very plain and very clear about that. And your children are dumb. Now, you'll get mad at me for saying that. But they're dumb. That's why you're supposed to train them. They don't know. You say, Junior, don't go out there and play in the traffic. Car might run over you. But if you don't tell him that, he may go out there and play in the traffic. They don't know those things. And I'm just simply saying, you've got to train them in every area, and especially in the spiritual areas. Luke 2:52, talking about Jesus, who was around 12 years of age, and we're dealing with his humanness here as he talks about that. And Jesus increased in his humanity in wisdom and stature and in favor with God and man. Jesus, 12 years of age, a child, increased in wisdom and stature and in favor with God and man. Now, he was God in the flesh, but he laid aside his rights of deity and took on that humanity as far as that relationship. There was a dual relationship, but he took on humanity, and the Bible describes him as increasing in wisdom in his humanity and stature and in favor with God, his Father, and with man. Jesus grew in those areas. So Jesus was around 12. The only verse till he began his ministry that we know anything about was that particular verse. Now, wisdom means that there was mental knowledge that he needed, and there was ignorance in that area. There was some ignorance in that area. Stature is talking about physical stature and spiritual stature. It may deal with the food that he ate. It may deal with resting properly, some of those things that are important for a child. And then favor with man. That has to do with the social graces that the children need to learn and need to know. They have favor with God. They have favor with man. And some of the young children if you watch them, they're very, very selfish many times, and they would rather fight than change sometimes. And you get somebody over and have a child come over, and oh boy, they're just playing away, they're having fun. And all of a sudden, one child reaches over and gets the toy of the other child. And here this child pitches a fit and runs to mom and daddy, and so-and-so got my toy. And they scream and holler, and they don't want to give up that toy. They don't want them playing with their toy. That's just the attitude of children, because they are depraved. And so they need to have favor with man in those areas and the social graces. They have to be taught to share. They have to be taught to have good manners. They have to be taught how to speak to adults, that type thing. And then favor with God, and I think that's the area of the spiritual. And he's talking about Christ that was 12 years of age in his humanity. You can filter all that and meditate on that for a long time. But the Bible says, train up a child. They need training. Train up a child. If you don't teach them, then you will create children that will create a bad generation. Now, I think most of us would agree tonight that we're seeing some very bad things out of the young people and youth. Not all of them are bad. I'm saying in a general way, throughout our society today, we're seeing rebellion. We're seeing all kinds of things that are going on. We're seeing gangs. You name it, it's all there. And we see all of that. Now, God says, teach them. And if we don't do it, and they don't respect us, and we don't teach respect, we'll have a bad generation. Proverbs 30, again, verses 11 and 12. There is a generation that curseth their father. There's a generation that curseth their father and doth not bless their mother. They don't say good things about dad and about their mother. There is a generation that are pure in their own eyes. They think they're right, and yet is not washed from their filthiness. God says you better train them. If not, we will raise a generation that does not know how to respect God and live right and act right. It is our responsibility. Proverbs 30, verse 17. The eye that mocketh at his father and despiseth to obey his mother, the ravens, this is pretty strong, the ravens of the valley shall pick it out and the young eagles shall eat it. And he's talking, he's simply saying that you will be judged if you don't honor your mother and dad. You will be chastised if you don't do the right thing about your mother and about your father. And so we have some of the problems we have today. Now, he says, obey your parents. Now, does that mean that if your parents tell you to do something contrary to the Word of God, that you're supposed to obey them? This gets controversial. But I believe the Bible tells us that we're to obey the parents in the Lord. Children, obey your parents in all things. This is well-pleasing unto the Lord, Colossians 3:20. But what about obeying them to do evil? I think there we have the right and the opportunity to stop it. Now, I'm not talking about some concocted, made-up thing just for your own benefit. But I'm talking about something very important and very, very specific. Acts 4:19, but Peter and John answered and said unto them, they were told to quit preaching, whether it be right in the sight of God to hearken unto you more than unto God, judge ye. But they said, we're going to keep preaching. There comes a time that we do not obey government, and there comes a time that even with parents, if they ask us to do something, especially if we're adults, we do not have the responsibility to do what they say when they say disobey God. Let me give you an illustration. Phil Savalaski will be here next Sunday morning. And he will be presenting some of the Jewish faith and showing how it parallels with Christianity, how it was fulfilled in the Lord Jesus Christ. Phil Savalaski was a Jew raised in a Jewish family. But when he got saved, his daddy told him to deny that and to not read his Bible and to not pray and to do all of those things, and finally kicked him out of his home and had a funeral for him. Well, there comes a time when you have to say, I've got to obey God. I have to do what God tells me to do, and I cannot deny the Lord Jesus Christ. And there are other situations like that. Daniel had that situation. They said, Daniel, don't you be praying. Daniel said, I've got to pray because God told me to pray, and I'm going to pray. And he defied government authority in that case. A lot of times, young people, though, will try to spiritualize things to get out of things. And you have to be careful about using that just to get out of having to obey your parents or do some of the things that are right. For instance, if your dad says, you need to mow the yard, you don't come off and say, now, Dad, I want to tell you I had a vision last night. And God told me in the vision that I'm to go to the lake and go down to the beach because there are people down there that need to be witnessed to. You see, you can come up with all kinds of rationale that you concoct and make up, but it won't be what God has said. The Los Angeles Times ran an article, and I want to quote it. It says, if Wayne Felton of Springfield, Massachusetts, does not shape up, he'll have to stop seeing his children. The 35-year-old fireman doesn't beat his daughters, ages 7 and 4, nor does he take them to X-rated movies or encourage them to neglect their studies. What he does is read the Bible to them. And a judge who was involved in the divorce situation, and the former wife came to him and filed charges against him because he was doing that, and the judge told him that he could no longer do that, and that he would no longer, if he was going to read the Bible to his children, he was no longer going to have visitation rights. Now, is that sick or is that sick? And they ought to thank God that he was reading the Bible to them. I remember, and I think I've shared this story with you before, but there was a family in our church in Indiana, Juanita and Clem Coors, and they were good people, faithful, came to church, and very involved in so many ways, especially Juanita. My phone rang on Sunday morning. They said, can you come up to their house? A state trooper called me and wanted me to come there, and I went there. And I had to help him, go in with him, to break the news to Juanita and to Clem that his son and daughter-in-law had been killed about 1 o'clock that morning in a car wreck. So that was one of the things that had to be done. And so we went in and told them. And that was a process going on. And then they had 3 grandchildren. Well, who's going to get the children? By the way, it's a wise thing to have that set up and have it legally set up. Because if you don't know who the court will put them with. So it's a good thing to do that, just a word to the wise about that. And they brought in a lady from CASA, C-A-S-A, Child Appointed Special Advocate. Now, if you work for them and you're one of the good ones, keep up the good work. But this was not a good one. And a lot of the stuff I've had with some of those organizations are totally unbiblical in what they're presenting. But they wanted to adopt those 3 grandchildren. They had money, had a beautiful home. They were going to take them to church. They could supply every need they had. And so I was there. She wanted me there when the CASA rep came. And by the way, before she got that job, she was a dog catcher. But at any rate, she was over the SPCA building. But anyway, that really qualifies you to tell people how to raise your kids. You know, how to feed a dog and all that kind of stuff. But this was what they were doing. And so they told, they said, well, if they disobeyed, would you give them? She said, yeah, I'd spank them. I might swat them on the backside. Well, are you going to make them go to church? Yes, yeah, sure. We go to church. They're going to go to church with us. And a number of things, 2 or 3 things like that, that they asked. And you know what they did to them? They said, you must go see a psychiatrist. And they made them, the court forced them to go see a psychiatrist. And so I told the CASA lady afterwards, I said, I'd like to see what comes out of that. And so she called me, and I went up to the courthouse and went in her office and all of that. And she laid down a bunch of papers about that thick and gave them to me. And she said, why don't you take them home with you and read over them? Just read through them. Tell me what you think of them. That was a mistake on her part. I took them home and read, and it insinuated that if they forced them to go to church, they were raping their minds, they were punishing them, they were being unfair to them, And if they really wanted them to read their Bible and read the Bible with them, there are a number of different things there. Or if they thought they needed a spanking. And they disqualified them, totally disqualified them from taking those children into their home because they had some very good biblical standards. And when I went back and took it to her, she said, "What'd you think?" I threw it down. I said, "It's a bunch of trash." And I said, "Y'all are dead wrong, and you ought to let them have those children." But a liberal judge gave the children to a home, this is God's truth, to a home where the teenagers, three of them, two of them had been kicked out of school. They were all on drugs. The daddy was an alcoholic. And the court put them in that home. And 6 months later, you wouldn't recognize those children. They were filthy and dirty. They hadn't been in church. I'm just telling you that we need to know what's going on. We need to train our children right. And we need to be very specific in what's going on and not try to get away from the Word of God and stay with the Word of God and do what is right. It may cost you, but you got to do what is right. What is the motive? Look at it in verse 1. What's the motive? Children, obey your parents. That's simple, isn't it? Children, obey your parents. You say, "Well, where's the psychological evidence that this is right?" You don't need any psychological evidence. All you need is the Word of God. That's enough. The Word of God. Children, obey your parents. What are the philosophers and the psychologists and the psychiatrists' opinion? I don't care what their opinion is. I believe what God says. Children, obey your parents and the Lord. Why? Why? This is right. Anybody not understand that? This is right. Husbands, treat your wife right. Why? This is right. God said it's right. Wives, be in submission to your husband. Why? God said it's right. Be right. And children, he says, obey your parents in the Lord. Why? For this is right. That settles it for me. God said it, and I believe it. And whether you believe it or not, it's still settled in heaven. Amen? God said it, and it's right. And what God says is right. Always it is right. This is the Word of God. Nehemiah 9:13. Thou camest down also upon Mount Sinai, spakest with them from heaven, gavest them right judgments and true laws, good statutes and commandments. In other words, God said, these are right. Do what's right. Psalm 19:8, the statutes of the Lord are right. That's very simple. They're right. They can't be wrong. There is no wrongness in them whatsoever. They are right. Rejoicing the heart, the commandment of the Lord is pure, enlightening the eyes. It's right. Romans 7:12 in the New Testament. Wherefore the law is holy. That's right. And the commandment holy. And that means it's right. And just. It's right. And good. It's right. It's all right. Everything is right. And what God says is right. Now, look at verses 2 and 3 in our text back in Ephesians 6, verses 2 and 3. And he gets into the area of honor. Honor thy father and thy mother. Obey them. This is right. Honor thy father and thy mother, which is the first commandment with promise. That's a very strong sentence or a verse in the Bible. Honor is the attitude behind the act. They get that now. Honor is the attitude behind the act. The act is obeying. And the reason you obey is because you honor your parents like God said. The attitude is honor. I honor my mother, I honor my father like God said. Therefore, my action is I'm going to obey. Now, listen to this, young people especially, children, listen to this statement. An act without the right attitude is hypocrisy. An act without the right attitude is hypocrisy. In other words, here's what I mean. You do what your parents say to do, but you hate it. You almost hate them for requiring that of you. You do what they say, but you hate it. You gripe. You don't want to do it. You seem unwilling to do it. You're nasty in your spirit about having to do it. That means you've got a wrong attitude. And that's being hypocritical. You do it, but you're bitter. You do it, but you're angry. You do it, but you're reluctant. You do it, but you're selfish in doing it. That's the wrong attitude. That is hypocrisy. An act without the right attitude is hypocrisy. And that means you're not honoring. The Spirit is behind the right act. Exodus 20, if not honor, in the Bible they talked about if the children did not honor their parents, God said they should die. Now, I'm not saying we're going to do that in the New Testament, but God doesn't change. In other words, you get the impression from God here that He says this is not right. This is wrong to dishonor your parents and to be hypocritical about it, have a bad attitude about it, even if you do obey them. It shouldn't be that way. God was after the attitude. That's why He said what He said in Exodus 20. He was focusing on the attitude. He was not so much focusing on the act. And so if we honor, and if you'll do that, then God is going to bless you. And He says He'll bless you all your life. I'm glad that if you honor your parents, God will bless you all your life. Now, let me turn somewhere else very quickly. Matthew 15. Turn there just a second. Matthew chapter 15. And God enlarges on this truth about honoring your parents. Matthew 15, verse 1. Then came to Jesus scribes and Pharisees, which were of Jerusalem, saying, "Why do thy disciples transgress the tradition of the elders? For they wash not their hands when they eat bread." And they had a bunch of traditions that had nothing to do with what God told them to do. Some kind of ablutions and traditions they went through in washing their hands. I have an idea the apostles may have washed their hands before they ate. But He says, why do they transgress the tradition of them? They don't do it the way we tell them to do it. They wash not their hands when they eat bread. But He answered and said unto them, why do you also transgress the commandment of God by your tradition? Why do you transgress God's commandment by your false teaching or your tradition? Now notice what He says. For God commanded, He knew exactly what they were up to and knew their hearts. For God commanded, saying, what? Honor thy father and thy mother, and he that curseth father or mother, let him die the death. And that's very strong. God points that out. Now, the word honor there, again, is an important word. It's like that found in 1 Timothy 5:17. Well, the Bible says, let the elders, the pastors, the overseers of the local church that rule well, be counted worthy of double honor. It has a financial implication to it. And I know a lot of people don't like to hear that, but it's there. It's in the Bible. That's what it really means. That's what it's talking about. And the honor is not just bragging on them, but the honor, when you get to the Word of God and know exactly what He's talking about, they are worthy of double honor, especially they who labor in the Word and in doctrine. And so there is a financial tie in to honoring your mother and your father. There is a financial tie, I believe, the Bible teaches about that. And I think it teaches children that there comes a day when if your parents cannot take care of themselves, and you won't like this, some of you, but you ought to be taking care of them. It costs, I don't know what the last figure is, but I know it's way, way over $100,000. Way above that to raise a child. And you parents know that you spend a lot of money on them all the way through their life. You do, and it goes on sometimes, but the money is there, and it's part of it. Now, if they can no longer take care of themselves, I believe the Bible teaches that's part of the honor process that He's talking about. God commanded, saying, honor, financially take care of your father and mother and their needs, and he that curses father and mother, let him die of the death. But ye say, and He's saying to these Pharisees, ye say, whosoever shall say to his father or mother, it is a gift, by whatsoever thou mightest be profited by me. If I do anything for you, there's no obligation. And honor not his father and his mother, and don't help them out, he shall be free. Thus have you made the commandment of God of none effect by your tr- tradition, by your tradition. And I know this is a different thing probably than you've heard, but I believe that he's talking about doing that, taking care. Whenever your parents later, they cannot take care of themselves, you need to be sure that they're taken care of. They took care of you all those years. You have to take care of them. And if they don't have to have any needs, then that's a blessing, but you have to do that. And what they were saying in verse 5 is, oh, yeah, we've got the money. Yeah, I've got the money. But I'm just going to hold on to it for a day down the road that I might need it more, or I might give it to something spiritual. No, God says if they have a need and you have the wherewithal, you have a responsibility to help take care financially of your mother and daddy. And study the Word of God, and I think you'll see that that's what he's talking about there. Then he says you'll be rewarded. When we go back to Ephesians chapter 6, he says you'll be rewarded if you'll do these things. And he says in verse 3, that it may be well with thee. Do these things. Honor your father and mother. Obey your parents. That it may be well with thee, and thou mayest live long on the earth. God says there are blessings that come with it. What is that? One is quality. Full life, a full life, a meaningful full life that he's talking about as he mentions that it may be well with thee and thou mayest live long on the earth. And then I think it's talking about quantity, the fullness of time that God has allotted you. You may be able to extend it, and the Bible does allow for that, or you may shorten your life. You see, you say, well, it's all predestinated and I've got a time to die and that's when I'm going to die. You have something to say about that. The way you live, what you do, what you don't do, obeying God, disobeying God, the way you treat your parents has something to do with how long you'll live on the face of this earth. It can shorten your life according to the Word of God. So it's an important thing to do what God says. Obey your parents, children, in the Lord, for this is right. Honor them. Don't be critical. Don't be hypocritical. Don't be angry with them because they make you mine and because they set down some biblical standards for you. You ought to honor them. Honor them like you would God and like you would Jesus. Honor thy father and mother. That's the first commandment with promise. And God says, if you'll do that, I'll honor you. I'll bless you in this life, and I'll maybe bless you with longer life, and certainly you'll be rewarded in heaven for doing what God says. Now, you won't be able to do that if you're not saved. And whether it's a husband taking his place or a wife taking her place or a child doing what God says to do, you're not going to be able to carry that out unless you're really saved. And you do that through the power of the Holy Spirit. Just like men and women have certain things they are not supposed to do because of the power of the Holy Spirit, boys and girls and children, young people, you, through the power of the Holy Spirit, can do what God says. Obey your parents in the Lord, for this is good. Honor, honor, honor your mother and daddy all the days of your life. And then when you get old, they'll honor you too. Amen? Let's stand, please. Father, I thank you that the Bible speaks to every situation, every subject, and it's crystal clear and very simple. Not complicated, not a bunch of psychiatry and psychology, not a bunch of philosophy of the world, but it's just the plain Word of God. Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is good. And I pray that our boys and girls would do that. And I pray that our teenagers would do that. And Lord, if they don't have this right attitude that creates the right action, help them to make things right tonight with mom and dad, especially with you in their own heart, to get things right at the home. And I pray, dear God, that you would help us, even as adults, that we might, if our parents are still living, realize that we ought to honor them in so many ways, even helping meet their needs, as you've taught us in the Bible. I pray if there's anybody here without Christ, that they'd be saved tonight. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.